Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. I want to read you a verse. You got a few minutes? Since you're here, we might as well say something, haven't we? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we have asked of Him." Wow. I want to talk to you for a few minutes here today about confidence in God. This is the confidence that we have, that we know if we ask anything, He'll hear us. We've been talking a lot about being led by the Spirit and being and hearing the voices and you know, but this isn't just so we tune ourselves up so we can make the right move every so often, you know. But this is what God's after is a communion with Him. He's after a time with Him whenever we fellowship with Him, and that's the whole purpose of talking to Him and then listening to Him talk to us. And you know, I just feel like there's a lot of Christians that don't really have that in their life. I hope all of you do. But if you don't, I mean, I don't know. We have all kinds of challenges. We don't think we're good enough, or we don't think we've done enough good, or we don't think that God would. We know God will bless. How many know God will bless? God can do anything, but sometimes we have a problem believing He'll do it for us. And this all started rolling around in my mind when I got to thinking a few weeks ago, and I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, some of you, how many been saved 5 years? Let me say, how many's been saved and you've been tithing at least 5 years? Okay, how many has been saved and you've been tithing at least 10 years? Okay, how about 20 years? How about 30 years? Some of us are over 40 years. And that's pretty hard since I'm only 43. So but this is what I started feeling like I was hearing the Spirit of God say. He says, I want to open up those windows that I promised in my word for some of your people. I want to open up those windows and pour out those blessings that there's not enough room to receive for some of your people. Amen. Now, that's what I felt like I heard Him saying. And you know, I think we're starting to see that. We're just getting a little trinkle here, but you know, it's something to come to a place when we're pretty good. I was talking to somebody in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, they were asking about what I did, and that always opens up the conversation, and asking about the church. And I said, well, you know, I said, my people, they're not a very religious people, but boy, they love Jesus. I said, that was a good time for some of you in the back to say amen. I said, you know, And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of religion, and I'm sick of doing things just for the sake of doing things. I think we're in a time now, we're in the last day, a last time now that God's beginning to move. And I want to ask you a question. How many know the terror and uh, what happened in California this past week, and all the terror and all the evil and all the, man, evil is prevailing, and things are going, but you know, economies are saying, and I got tickled, most of the world countries, they get together, and instead of trying to find out about some of the problems, they decide to save the planet. And I don't want to get too political here, but well, I'm going to tell you something. There's only one person that would be able to save this planet, and it's Jesus Christ. And besides that, he said he was coming back and getting us and taking us out of here, and then he's going to fix it then. But what I was thinking was, with all that's going on, wouldn't this be like God? Wouldn't this be like God that when all you heard was evil and all you heard was terror and all you heard was economies falling and all you heard was lack and troubles, wouldn't it just be like God to come on the scene and raise up some people and his family, some of his kids, to be the answers to some of these problems? Wouldn't that, you know, I mean, that to me, that just sounds like God. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll raise up a standard against him. God, the enemy's in. And I believe he's starting. And the only way we step into this is faith. Believing. Confidence. See, I'm confident. Many of us are confident. We're confident that God can hear us. We're just not confident that he hears me. Oh, God hears us. But if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to know he hears you. I wrote down a few verses. Just some of you that hadn't read your Bible in a few days, I'll just read a few. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Praise God. He goes on to say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, you guys can shout anytime you want to, because this is the Word of God, and he said that his Word won't come back void. It'll produce what he sent it to do. And he's just waiting for it to come back to him. He's just waiting for some of us to begin to speak it back to him and begin to believe it and begin to have a confidence that we serve a God that can do anything. And not only can he do anything, he'll do it for me. He'll do it for me. Psalms 86:7 says, in the day of trouble I'll call on you and you will answer me. Woo, yes. I love this one. Isaiah 65:24 says, and it'll come to pass. This is some of this stuff's what he said would come to pass after Jesus showed up. How many know Jesus already showed up? Huh? But anyway, he says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. I want to tell you today, you got a God that cares about you, and he cares about every part of your life, and he's tired of the enemy having his way in our lives all the time. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm deciding to put a stop to it in my life. Huh? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Boy, I can use that one. Huh? John 14:14 says, if you ask anything, everybody say anything. Anything. If you ask anything, everybody say anything one more time. Anything. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Huh, boy, that's good. Call upon me, Psalms 91, call upon me and I'll answer. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll deliver you. And I'll honor you. Matthew 21:22, he says, all things. Everybody say all things. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Luke 11:10 says, everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be open. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you want and it'll be done for you. Oh, I got to tell this one, Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's just take a minute and shout.
Amen.
Come on, we know it's raining out there, but the sun's shining in here, baby. Somebody, you've been believing for a car. And you just go, well, I just don't know if God really wants me to have this car, and I don't know who you are, and it really doesn't matter. But you better tell me when you get this car. And you just believe, well, I just don't know if God really wants. Let me ask you something. If he was going to hold back anything from you, wouldn't he have held back his son if he was going to hold back anything? But he freely gave him. Won't he also freely give us all things? Well, I just don't know about asking for stuff. Well, I know, but that's why we don't have it, because we don't ask for it, and we don't have confidence.
Yep.
Huh? Wouldn't he rather bless you than somebody in Al-Qaeda?
Yes.
Wouldn't he rather you have the money instead of some ISIS person have it in their account? Come on, get with me. See, we're talking about being led by the Spirit and hearing the voice of God, and we think that voice is just to correct us and just to straighten us out. Glory to God, he's been trying to straighten me out for 42 years and it hadn't worked yet. So what makes you think you're getting close? Huh? See, he thinks, we think, yeah, his voice is to tell us what to do right and don't do this wrong and all. And folks, that's part of it. But man, he'd like to show you where that blessing is. He'd like to show you what he's got for you. He's got some things planned for you and in line for you that he had fixed before the world was even brought into existence. He said, if you'll just listen and pay attention to me, I'll bring you into this. I'll lead you into all the truth I have for you. I saw on TV the other day, I saw a lady that had opened up a business here in town, and I remembered the lady. She used to come here, and I remembered her, and I watched that, and God flashed the story back, and I remember her coming in here 6-7 years ago, and she didn't have any money to put in the offering, so she took some of her commodity flour and made cookies and stuff for some of our meetings over here. And here 6-7 years later, she's on TV opening up her own business. Don't you tell me God doesn't want to bless you. Don't you tell me he doesn't have big things for you. Well, that's enough of those. But the Bible's full of these verses. Huh? It's full of them. I put front and back here and didn't even touch it. It's full of these verses. This is the confidence we have that we know he hears us when we ask. Huh? And we know if he hears us, then bless God, he'll give us what we ask for.
Amen.
Huh? That's what it says.
Yep.
Well, I know, but the rest of the word's the truth, but that part's not. Well, let me read you. See, we're I don't want to just yell and shout here, but we're, you know, I can't hardly keep from it when I talk about this stuff, but we're acting like we're the underdogs here.
Yep.
Huh? We're acting like we're just the dice that's rolled, and you know, it's just, oh, I hope it works out, and everything's by chance, and you know, let's roll the dice and see if it comes up 7 or 11, and hope it doesn't crap out, and let's even if you ever played dice, you know what I'm talking about. Let's just hope, man. I sure hope I get healed. I sure hope I feel better. I sure hope I get blessed. I sure hope I don't have to do this or do that. Let me read you another verse. John 16, verse 33, and I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. Okay, this is Jesus talking, and he's went through all the stuff we've been talking about for 2 months. And he says this. He says, I told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Now in the world, you're going to have some tribulations, some trials, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Yes. Folks, we're not the underdogs here. We're not just hanging on to the end. We're not just hoping stuff will work out. Bless God, I've said this before, but how many know that Jesus is going to come anytime now and rapture the church? Huh? How many looking forward to that? Hey, if you're not saved today, get saved, because we want you to go. We don't want you to have to stay in all that mess. But somebody said, well, I don't really believe in the rapture. How come you believe in it? And I thought, well, what I'm seeing of God and what I'm trying to learn of Him and trying to experience, what I see is that in this last day, God's people are going to be walking this earth so full of power, anointing, so full of the presence of God, so full of the Holy Spirit, that the devil'll have to come get us out of here so the devil can do the stuff he's supposed to do. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then believe whatever you want to believe, but as your faith is, that's the way you'll be. But I tell you what, you'll be a lot further down the road if you're believing for victory and you're believing for the power of the blood and you're believing for the anointing of God on you and you're believing that you're walking in His divine favor. You'll be a lot further down the road. Nothing. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. I've conquered it for you. This is the confidence that we have. Man, I serve a God. He's with me. This is the confidence that I have. What does that mean? See, what does that mean to you? See, it really doesn't matter what it means to me. But what does it mean to you? Do you have the confidence that He hears you? I mean, when you pray, when you get done praying, are you able to say, Amen, or so be it, Shalom. Are you able to say when you get done praying that, bless God, that's the way it is and that's the way it'll be? Confidence. See, confidence is faith. See, do you believe when you pray that He hears you? Oh, He hears everybody. Get all that out of the equation. What's He doing in your life? That's what He wants to do in your life. See, many of you believe if you come have me pray for you, that something would happen. Now, that's not bad, because that's what I believe too. I believe if I pray for you, something's going to happen. But do you see what I'm saying? Somewhere, we got to get to the place where we believe He hears our prayers, where He believes He hears me. Well, I'm just afraid I'll pray the wrong way. Well, you probably will. There's nobody but Jesus ever prayed the right way, I'm convinced. But you got a Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, and He's making that intercession for you, Romans 8 says. He knows what the will of God for your life is, and He's making that intercession for you in your life. He's leading you and guiding you. Big deal if you pray the wrong thing. You won't do it again. He'll show you, and if you get off course, He'll just steer you right back on. I told somebody, they said they didn't know what to do. They had two decisions. They said, I don't know which way to move. I don't know which way to go. I said, well, take one of them. You'll have a 50% chance of making it. If you don't make a decision, you don't have any chance. Oh, but the thing with God is even if you make the wrong one, He shows you after a few steps, and you go, oh, yeah, okay, I knew that. I was just going to get back over here anyway. Say, what are you doing, Hank? I believe God wants us to have this personal relationship with Him. And it's not a personal relationship to where I just think I'm hearing God and I don't listen to anything you say. No, we are the body fitly joined together. And folks, we need to listen to each other. We need to help each other. I have preachers getting on me because I listen to you guys. Oh, no, if you're the leader, you need to make all the decisions. You're the leader. Well, now, I do make the decisions eventually, but you know what? You might have a piece of that puzzle. You might have a piece of that vision. You might have heard something from God that I didn't hear. And I'm sorry, none of us are too, well, we get too big for our britches is what we do. So I listen. I listen. But see, he's after this personal relationship. Do you have confidence? See, that's what faith is. Confidence is when I pray, I believe he heard me. When I pray, I believe I received it. And he didn't say that stuff wouldn't happen. No, Jesus said, he said, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. You know, I don't know about you, but how many's like me? I wish everything would just go smooth for a while. Huh? I mean, man, I just like to, you know, come on, man, can't everything just work out? Can't we just all get along? You know, I mean, I just like to pump up that lazy boy there and prop my feet up and get that remote in my hand. I just like stuff to go smooth, you know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But we got an enemy that goes around seeking who he can devour. Yes, we're going to have stuff. You know, it's not going to go smooth. But what Jesus says is, he says, hey, he said, I've already deprived it of its power to hurt you. So I don't know, what are you going through? What have you been crying about? What have you been whining to God about? Would I get somebody to? Hey, I do it. I'm whining, crying. He says, well, when you get through crying and whining, get up and I'll show you what to do. What are you facing? Are you facing some stuff? See, what he said is, he said, I already deprived it. It can't hurt you if you don't let it. I conquered it for you. What did he say when he was praying the prayer in John chapter 17? He's praying and he told these guys, I wouldn't want to be one of his disciples then, because he told, man, you guys are in for some bad stuff. Bad stuff. And when he's praying for him, he said, Father, I'm not asking that you take them out of this world. I'm just asking that you keep them while they're in this world. Oh, God, get me out of this problem. Why don't you just have a little fun in the middle of that problem first? See, if you're confident that you're going to get out of it anyway, why don't you just have a little fun? Why don't you just do a little boxing? Why don't you just tease the devil a little bit? Why don't you just torment him a little bit? That's what he's trying to do to you. I mean, just get down and when you're almost at the breaking point, God, you said you wouldn't let more be put on me than I can bear it. And I just want you to know I'm right at the line. You don't think he knows where you are? I quit praying that. Well, right when you're at that breaking point, won't you just stop and turn around and won't you just speak some of the word of God to him? Huh? He can't stand up against that word of God. Well, all that was free. It wasn't in the message today. But you see what I'm saying? He wants something personal. There only has to be two or three of you get this. And we can turn this whole area upside down. Amen. Huh? This has to be a few of us get it. Amen. And I'm trying to be one of them. Huh? I'm trying to be one of them. Anybody else trying to be one of them? See, you need to have your own confidence and you need to have your own faith, because if God would do it for anybody else, he'll do it for you. Amen. Look at Philippians. Where's Philippians at? Philippians in the Bible. Look at Philippians 2. Now I'm going to read verses 12 and 13, but I like this other two. So just leave 12 up there and I'll get to it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. Let me just stop there. There's a whole lot of messages in this part of Scripture here, but the part that's standing out to me right now is he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. Amen. See how many Christians you go, man, I just don't believe that we're supposed to be like Jesus. I just don't believe that. I know we're supposed to be doing good and not doing bad and all that, but I just don't know, man. I'm just afraid to go that place with it. And I can remember whenever you said, one day I heard somebody, so I was like an idiot. I got up and told it to the people. And I said, just go look in the mirror and look in there and say, "Hi, Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Did you know that you're Jesus if you're born again? You're part of his body." Now, I'm sorry, this foot, I don't care if you're the little toe on the foot, this foot is Hank. This foot isn't Kenny, this foot's Hank. You wouldn't want it anyway, Kenny. But, and you know, we got this religious thing in our mind, because I'm going to tell you what, the devil doesn't want you or me to get a hold of some of this stuff. He doesn't want us to realize who we are. He doesn't want us. He had enough trouble with Jesus. What's it going to be like when he has several million Jesuses walking around?
Come on.
What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. The works that I do, they're not my works. They're the works he did, because the one that's in me did them. And he said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless my... I've got all those scriptures too, but I won't take the... Maybe next week. But he said, I don't say anything. I don't do anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I just don't do anything. See, what did he say? He humbled himself. He didn't think he was a big guy because he was able to take all that authority over the devil.
Amen.
He knew it was God. He knew it was Daddy. He knew it was Father.
Amen.
See, humility isn't bowing down and not doing nothing and being trying to be so little and all. That's what religion's fed us. Humility is for the power of God to move in my life, the glory of God to flow through my life. And then when it's all happening and folks are getting healed and saved and baptized and things are happening, and I go, boy, it isn't me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Him. Folks, that's humility. I don't know why he gave me this $50,000, but praise God, it's all because of him.
Amen.
And I don't know why I said that, but somebody been believing for that.
Amen.
Well, are you confident that you'll have it? Maybe you will be after today.
Amen.
Confident that you'll receive it? Anyway, he goes on here, man, and I just had to say this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, if those in heaven and those in earth and those in heaven, those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Boy, I'm telling you what, I got a Savior living inside of me that has a name above every name. I'm telling you what, cancer, the name of Jesus is above you. I tell you, kidney problems, the name of Jesus is above you. And I curse you and get out of these bodies. All the poverty, all the sickness, that's not from God, that's from you, devil. And I just take the name of Jesus and I exalt it over you.
Amen.
Boy, I could stay there a while, but let's go on, because I just saw something in 12 and 13. It says, therefore, my beloved, you know, it's all talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus is preached and the life to live is Christ, and then this part of humility and light, we're light bearers. And anyway, but he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both the will to will and to do his good pleasure.
Amen.
I can see we're going to have to come back and spend some time there. How many, what does that mean? Work out your own salvation. Anybody ever had a question about that verse? I mean, just then question it in your mind. Only three of us are telling the truth. So, have I lost everybody here? Did I throw you off track when I said you were Jesus? Huh? Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll get you back. Work out your own salvation. What does that mean? Well, just work out my way to go to heaven. No, I'm sorry. There's only one way to go to heaven. And that's Jesus. He said, I am the way, the life, and the door. The truth, the life, and the door. I'm the only way. I'm the only door you can go through. What does that mean to work out your own salvation? Well, I know one of the things it says is you have to have your own experience. You have to have your own confidence. You have to have your own faith. Let's get elementary here for a minute. What is that word salvation? If you've been saved very long, you've studied it or heard somebody talk about it, it's sozo. Sozo. And we know how to receive that salvation to go to heaven. But let me tell you what sozo means. And if you got a Strong's, and you ought to get you some materials and some reference books and stuff and study some of this stuff out. But it means, I would always say salvation to go to heaven first. But in the definition, it doesn't list that first. It lists that last. He starts off here and it says, to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger and destruction or destruction. It says, to keep you from injury or peril, to keep you from suffering from disease, to make you well, to heal, to restore you to health. Is that soaking in? To preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or to rescue. And then the last one is, it's the technical biblical sense, to deliver us from the penalties of God's judgment. And to keep us, for us to have power over all those evil forces that try to keep us from receiving that repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad about going to heaven. How about you?
Yes.
How many's going to heaven? Is that all? How many's going to heaven? Okay, everybody in here, hold your hand up and say something with me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Your blood was enough. I believe in you. Save me right now. I want to live for you. I need your help. Now, if you weren't saved and you said that and really meant it, now you are saved. Oh, but I thought we had to. No, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? So that's important to me. But listen to this. This word salvation implies everything the enemy can do to you. Everything. Is that what Jesus said? I've deprived it. In the world, you're going to have all these things that are going to happen, but you can still be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. I've already deprived it of its power to hurt you. I've conquered it for you. That's a lot better preaching than you guys are acting like. God never made anybody poor. He never made anybody broke. You can't find anybody in the Bible that took God up on his deal that he didn't bless them. The blessings of Abraham would come on us. And he told Abraham, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. That means I'm going to bless you so much, you'll have to give it away and you'll have to be a blessing to everybody you get around. And if you read the accounts, that's what happened to him and all his kids. And it traced all the way down. And now it's for us. Well, so work out your own salvation. I don't know about you, but sometimes Sometimes it's a battle. You know, see, work out your own salvation. See, what I have to do is, I have to believe when my senses are telling me something different. I have to believe when my body's telling me something different. Anybody, how many got the flu shot last week in here? See, you don't even remember. No wonder you're getting the flu already. You know, I got my flu shot in here, and you know what happened the other night? I was sitting in the chair, in the Lazy Boy, I had it in gear, and I was sitting there, and man, my throat started getting, and my chest, I felt like an elephant was sitting on it, and I all this was happening, and I'm thinking about that stuff, and it's coming, and I'm thinking about that, and I said, you know what? I don't think I want that this time. I choose to believe, Jesus, that your stripes are enough. See, you don't take a faith stand without having a little opposition sometimes. But that's not to be expecting the opposition, because the thing is, he knows how to get us, and he's got us so many times that he keeps trying the same thing until we wise up and say, nope, ain't going to work this time. And man, I mean, the thoughts were there about, boy, I can't be sick. I got to talk Sunday, and we got this going on and that going on. And I get, you know, that, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, no, hold it. No. And you know what? In 15 minutes, my chest straightened up, and I went, my goodness. You see, I was surprised that it worked. You know, like you are. Don't act like a little angel sitting there. And I went to bed, and of course I knew during the night fever came and all this. But I woke up Saturday morning, yesterday morning, and I felt so good. I just laughed at the devil for a while. I just felt so good, and I just went, God, you are amazing. It didn't mean I still didn't have to take some faith stand. See, because the enemy comes at you doesn't mean that you failed. Because he comes at you, that's his job to steal, kill, and destroy. It's his job to try to get you to doubt everything God says. But if you'll stand strong, if you'll stand in the gap, if you work out your own salvation, Father, I know you're blessing Kenny today financially, but I need blessing today financially. God, I know you're doing big things in Kim's life, but God, I need some big things in my life. Huh? Why does the Bible say, and we'll get into this sometime, why does the Bible say, because I got to quit in a minute, why does the Bible say that God wants to do all that stuff for us? So that he can be glorified. It doesn't glorify him when you're broke. It doesn't glorify him when you're... Now, he's not mad at you, and it's not a fault of yours. Hey, we got an enemy. Amen. Hear what I'm saying. But I'm just going to make a statement, a faith statement right now. Devil, you've about trespassed around in our lives all you're going to. Amen. And this is what I'm praying for you. And so I want you to be praying it for yourself. But I want him out of your affairs. I want him totally out of your affairs. I want him totally out of your life. Totally out of your life. We don't have to live there, do we, Kenny? We don't have to live there. We don't have to live there. That'd just be a good place to wrap this thing up. I'm just making a statement. I'm making a stand of faith. Devil, you're not going to operate in my life freely anymore. Is that what you want? If it is, stand up. And man, I had some good stuff here too. All our stuff that we think's good isn't nothing. Isn't nothing compared to just a little bit of God's good stuff. Work out your own salvation. See, you know, you're going to have those times. You're going to have those battles. You're going to have those times. That's what we got an enemy. What did Peter say? So, man, don't think it's some... Don't act so surprised when these things come on you. Don't be so shocked. I talk to Christians, they go, I just don't understand how this could happen to me. Well, I do. It's spelled D-E-V-I-L. Little D, by the way, little D. Don't you ever write down his name and put a capital D on that. He's a little D. And I tell him that every day. Devil, you're a little D today. So, oh, Hank, I don't know. But that's okay. You'll think different after this service than you did before.
Amen.
We're all works in progress.
Amen.
Inch by inch, it's all a cinch. Hey, we can make it. We can do it. See, I just finally decided I need that confidence myself. I need to know God's doing something for me. I need to know He'll do it for me when I hear Him. And how many, if I come to the hospital and I pray for you, how many of you want my prayer to work?
Amen.
Huh? If you got a financial need and you come ask me to pray for you, how many want that to work?
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, Bob's over here and we prayed and man, he had a big operation, and man, he run up the stairs a while ago. Run up the stairs. He said, "You see me? I run up the stairs."
Yeah.
Prayed for a man last week that had lung cancer, and they said, "We might have to take your whole lung out." And by the time they got in there, it was contained to one little lobe, and it was all the cancer. It was all, they got it all in one little lobe. I'm telling you what, man, God's doing things. You say, "Well, I just don't believe you ought to go to doctors." Well, then don't go. But I'm praying for doctors to work and doctors to do things. I was over at a hospital, and I was praying, and we was at the hospital, and I prayed for, well, I prayed for Sue Royster. She got her knee operated on. And when they got in there, it only took about 10 minutes to operate on it by the time they got in there. And it sounded to me like God was already repairing stuff. But we prayed, and when the doctor came out to tell me how good, or tell Finus how good it went and all this stuff, and he said, Finus said, this is my pastor. Well, he didn't say that. He said, "This is my pastor." If you know Finus. And the doctor stopped and looked at me and he said, "Well, how come we didn't pray?" I said, "Buddy, I did pray." "Well, I know, but I wanted to pray with you. This is the doctor talking to me." But I could pray. I said, "Hey, I've been praying for you since last night. Don't worry about that. You were covered." Oh, listen, man. I'm telling you what. We don't have a weak God. We got a strong God. And He wants to be strong in you. Well, six, seven months back, I was at St. John's and praying for a lady that was going to have a mastectomy. And is that, did I say that word right? Probably not. But anyway, we were in there, and I said, "Well," I said, "we're going to," I said, "Charles and I," I said, "we're going to go ahead and pray for you and then get out of here so your family can come in." And the doctor was over here, the surgeon was over here, like, he turned around and said, "Can I pray with you?"
Yes.
I said, "Yeah, yeah." I'm just saying, man, if you're taking that medicine, when you take it, pray, "God, make this medicine work." And matter of fact, He'll make it work so good that after a while, you probably won't have to take it. But let the doctor tell you you don't have to take it. How about that? See, I want you to have the confidence for you, because God's raising up some folks now. He's raising up some folks in here. Yes, I want Him to do it in First Church and Second Church and in all the Christ churches and all the other churches and all that. But listen, this is where I'm at. This is where you're at. I want Him to do it in your life. Well, that was probably better than what I was going to give you anyway. Do you have the confidence He hears you? No wonder Paul said in Hebrews, "Since we have such a great high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, let us come boldly to that throne." Boldly to that throne. We can get help, and we can get the stuff when we need it in our time of need. Well, let's just sing a victory song here. Let's just sing a victory song for Jesus. How about that?